and Marble, a novel of Leonardo and Michelangelo. And then at 11:30, it's Black Book Talk, a monthly program featuring interviews and discussions of works by African-American authors. Up next, Chris Andre, host Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary. Hey, thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate today.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Tim DeChristopher Lecture, Wielding the Power of Vulnerability, Thursday, April 7th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. Tim DeChristopher, as Bitter 70, disrupted a Bureau of Land Management oil and gas auction in 2008 by outbidding oil companies for land parcels around Arches and Canyonlands National Parks in Utah. His actions led to a 21-month imprisonment. Again, that's a lecture by Tim DeChristopher titled Wielding the Power of Vulnerability, Thursday, April 7th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, 1211 Southwest Main Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Thursday, April 7th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Weather today, when the weather's in the news, you know you're in trouble, right? Nonetheless, here it comes. Sunny with a high around 83, east wind 7 to 13, gusting up to 20. Out in the gorge right now, my first-hand experience tells me that it's gusting way higher than 20. Tonight, mostly clear, lows around 53, light winds. And tomorrow, break sunny and clear with a high near 78. Same wind situation, 5 to 8 miles per hour. And for Friday night, tomorrow night, mostly cloudy and a low around 50, southwest wind 6 to 9. And that's the weather. And again, let's not jump to conclusions here. Weather is not the same thing as climate. And climate change is not the same thing as habitat collapse. The climate, of course, is just one variable in a complicated and rather intense equation. And we must remember that many other elements are all interconnected and are influencing climate. So just it's something to bear in mind and notice how it affects pretty much everything, mining, Wall Street, timber, oceans, terminals, and all the ships at sea, basically. Yeah, it does. Our guest today is Dr. Margaret Flower. She is a longtime activist and pretty much an unstoppable force in the progressive community. We've had her on the show before. She's going to be joining us again today after just a few headlines. So don't call it savage. Yesterday, the Port of Vancouver knocked the bomb trains off the rails by coming out against a contract renegotiation, which was requested by Vancouver Energy. That's Vancouver Energy. The only thing they forgot to do is put the word green in there. But nonetheless, Vancouver Energy is actually Tesoro and Savage, now operating as Vancouver Energy. They were seeking to delay for 2 years the August 1st rent increase. Energy officials say that they made the request because as the project remains in the state approval phase. No, it doesn't. It's over. Go home. That's the end of, that's basically the question that this answers. Now, about 300 concerned ranchers, residents, and county officials shoved their way into the Jordan Valley High School gym on the weekend to participate in a town hall held by Representative Greg Walden. We like to think of him as a bit quirky and a bit edgy for a Republican. But what this was all about was denying the wonderful idea, environmental groups have maintained it, that the Canyon Lands proposal would be indeed a gift to future generations. The ranchers believe that it would encroach on their property. It's land. It's going to be there whether it's a park or whether it isn't. And as a park, it is a gift to those who come after us, far more so than ranch land, which is not very good anyway for grazing. So there's that too, which they seem to forget. That's why these people are dangerous. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has pushed back the release of a proposed cleanup plan for the Portland Harbor. It's what, something like 11 miles. That's a lot. That's a lot of river. And the 11 miles moves downstream, and more 11 miles remain. So, yeah, this is a delay that we don't need. And take a look also at Hanford. Look at the corruption there. People have been double billing and double paying themselves for quite a while. And what they're paying themselves with is a taxpayer money. So we've been paying these goofballs twice to do pretty much nothing other than continue to endanger our lives, and there's a gift for future generations, Hanford. Don Blankenship is going to do a year in prison. You remember Don, right? The CEO of mining company that gave us all the Upper Big Branch horror show, 29 people killed. I would say the person responsible ought to do a little bit more than a year. We want to welcome now Dr. Margaret Flowers to the KBOO Airwaves to talk about today. Things are changing. People are paying attention to issues that in past years would have been glanced over, seemed too complicated or not important. But welcome, Margaret, to the KBOO Airways. We're so happy to have you back on the program.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
This is great to have you on. We are beginning to revisit single-payer healthcare insurance because the political climate is certainly different. I think we all would agree that Bernie Sanders is the one to thank for that. But in general, the reason I want to talk again about this is that the whole climate of political discourse seems to have is in the process of change. It seems to have shifted, and things that we would not perhaps have expected the public to be interested in, such as the offshore tax evasion and tax evasion and havens, that is something people feel strongly about. And now single payer seems to be back on the table. Can you tell us, you work constantly in the activist community, what do you see out there playing fields of election year?
Yeah, well, I think it definitely is a very interesting election year. I think that we have to recognize that the issues that Bernie Sanders is talking about have been issues he's been consistently talking about throughout his career. And the reason that I think he's getting so much attention right now is because the political kind of movement, the activist movement, especially, you know, during the Occupy and since then, has elevated the political dialogue in this country, where more and more people are interested in talking about the wealth inequality and the corruption of Wall Street and the corruption of our government by money. So I think that he's just speaking to the times, and it's great that it's resonating with so many people and you know, bringing new people into being politically active. I think it's important for us to always remember where political power comes from, and it does come from organized and activated people taking action. It's really not about electing a particular political leader, but being ready, no matter who is in office, to organize and make the demands you know, that we need to make in terms of the healthcare system that we need, certainly in terms of addressing the climate crisis and the poverty crisis that we have in the United States. So it's an interesting election year in that more and more people are beginning to get that. You know, Bernie's kind of message of a political revolution is resonating with people, but it's important for them, you know, again, the political revolution is not Bernie Sanders. It is the people that are activated and organized.
Yeah, indeed, it really is. And it's a bit, I don't want to use the word ironic, but it certainly is interesting as in so far as pattern recognition is helpful, that Bernie Sanders is what would be considered far to the farthest, obviously, to the left, and Donald Trump as a Republican the farthest to the right. These two candidates are obviously getting a lot more attention than the run of the mill. So in some respects, some of the things they're saying seem to resonate with voters in the same way. They're different messages, completely different, if you even call Trump's ideas of platform way different, but people respond to them from the same sense of frustration. What would it take now to use this opportunity to take single payer to a next level of discourse? What would it take, do you think?
I think it's interesting because it shows that kind of the political machine of the Democratic and Republican Party is no longer really in control. I think the Democratic Party machine expected that, you know, Bernie would be, you know, not an issue anymore at this point. I mean, President Obama was not that long ago telling the Democratic funders that it's ready to switch over and really get behind Hillary. But the Bernie Sanders kind of movement is continuing to push his campaign forward in an unexpected way. And the Republican Party itself is also, they would like to have anybody but Trump as their next presidential nominee. But his message is somehow resonating you know, with that constituency, and some of it, you know, is very concerning, kind of especially the hate that we see coming out of it. But I think what it, you know, what it tells us is that, and again, also with the, you know, with the Panama Papers, it looks for all intents and purposes like that was intended to be kind of the newest tool to bat, to kind of combat, you know, Putin and make him look you know, evil, and instead it kind of backfired and people said, hey, wait a second, we know this corruption is happening everywhere, let's look at our own, you know, people. So in terms of getting single payer, I think that it's great to see that more and more people in the United States are recognizing that the Affordable Care Act, the so-called Affordable Care Act, did not solve the crisis that we have, that tens of millions of people continue to have no insurance at all, and tens of millions of more, and a growing percentage of people are underinsured, so they may have health insurance, but they don't have the money to cover the out-of-pocket cost or the, you know, medical centers in their networks that they need to go to when they have a serious health problem. And so it's great to see, you know, discussion of single payer again, and it really does come down to the people being organized and focusing on their members of Congress and just saying that we demand this, that not being fooled by the rhetoric, as so many were in 2009, 2010, of a public option, which was really used to fool people into thinking that that was a step towards single payer, but to really be, you know, well informed that the smallest step that we can take to really move in the right direction for healthcare is to move to a single payer system and then do the work to improve that. And we do see within the single-payer movement more and more of the groups coming together, working together. We had last October all of the major single-payer groups held their conferences around the same time in Chicago, Illinois, so that people could network and strategize together. And that's what it's really going to take.
Laura, thank you so much. It is going to be interesting. This might be the moment that the progressive community could take advantage of to bring single payer to the forefront, where people really are. As the Affordable Care Act gets hammered and taken apart state by state. And it looks worse all the time. Maybe this is that moment. Thank you so much. Can you recommend a source for listeners to go to learn more about this before we let you go?
Sure. Well, some of the best websites to learn about single payer are Physicians for National Health Program. It's PNHP.org. And healthcare-now.org, and find local chapters, get involved with those. And also remember that there's more than the two political parties, that we also have a strong Green Party candidate who is a single-payer supporter, Dr. Jill Stein. So I hope people will check out her campaign as well.
Thank you so much for that.
Sure.
We're so glad to have you back on the show. My guest, of course, has been Dr. Margaret Flowers. This has been Air Cascadia for Thursday, April 7th, 2016. Rock Bergeron engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Rock. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Audrey. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints, Ellen Brown, noted author and founder of the Public Banking Institute.